Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. We'll read from verse 21 all the way down through 35. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times." For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and he could not pay. His lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii and seized him by the throat. And he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him in prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So how about that? How about that scripture? Y'all know how much I love talking about hell and brimstone and punishment and divine wrath. Oh boy, this one's right up my alley, isn't it? And of course, as I've said before, when we get stuck, it's often good to go to the text to try to understand the words that are there before we can try to piece together what it might be saying. So, of course, in the email, I said this was one of the great math problems of the Bible. Because Jesus' answer to Peter, "How many times should I forgive?" 7 times? The word that Jesus answers is not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times, or perhaps it can be translated 70 times 7, which is a little bit bigger. It's like 144 or something. But all of these numbers, Peter is doing this thing that he's trying to give a good answer. How many times should I forgive? 7 times? Because that's a lot. 7 times is a lot. Have you ever had to forgive somebody? The kids have made a great point. It's hard to do. 1 time is hard enough. Peter says 7 times. Surely that has done and gone above and beyond how many times I ought to forgive. 7 in the whole numerology thing, which I don't pay too much attention to. But perhaps Matthew is getting at 7 is that perfect number. Peter says, surely forgiving 7 times is a perfectly adequate, perfect number, perfect way to forgive. That's good, right? He's trying to be the teacher's pet. I'll forgive 7 times. That's good, right? Right, Jesus? Jesus is like, no. More than that, even. 77. 7 times 70. More and more. Your forgiveness must be great. Beyond even what you think is perfect. Beyond, it's the old adage, forgive until you've done all the forgiving you think you can, and then forgive a little bit more. Go above and forgive. And Jesus tells this terrible, awful, no good parable about forgiveness. I mean it. I don't like this parable. Because by the end of it, it makes it feel like God's forgiveness is conditional. We have to do something to make God's forgiveness stick. But let's look at the numbers and see if that understanding holds true. First, of course, is this king who wants to settle his accounts with his slaves. That's a good thing to do every so often. You need to settle up. It's a good thing. So he begins this reckoning, and one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought before him. Now, this is also supposed to be just a huge, unimaginable, impossible number. This slave owes him something that can never be repaid. This is lifetimes upon lifetimes of earning money. There's no way he can repay this debt. He can't do it. And so the king has what is understood to be an appropriate response. Sell him, his wife, his children, all of his possessions, and so that that money can be paid back. Now, this was perfectly legal, but it was not often done. This was the possibility that could happen if you owed this much money. But most people, most kings even, aren't that heartless. So this is legal, strictly speaking, but not something that was normally done. But this debt, again, is so impossibly large, we got to get something back. The slave, of course, begs and pleads, falls down upon his feet, have patience with me, and I will pay you back everything. It's impossible. This is an empty promise. This isn't going to happen. This promise that was made cannot be fulfilled. And so out of pity for him, the lord of that slave releases him. Why? It's just, was he entertained? Oh, look at the little slave begging for his life. Maybe. Maybe something in this scene changes the king's heart, but he forgives him. This king has made this huge sacrifice. This great payment that was due to him has been completely forgiven. What a wonderful thing for this slave. This great, huge, impossibly large debt has been wiped away. There's no payment plan. Sure, I won't put you in jail. I won't sell your wife and your children into slavery, but I'll make you pay back a little bit here and there. Wiped out. Completely forgiven. A clean slate. All of it gone. What a wonderful day of celebration. And so, like any good slave, he goes out to celebrate, right? No. He sees his fellow slave. It makes it sound like he's walking out the door and the next guy that's coming in, he sees him and recognizes that he owes him 100 denarii. Now, the denarii was a day's wage. So this is 100 days worth of wages. So in and of itself, it's a fairly large sum. This isn't like I bought you lunch and you owe me lunch money. This is a pretty sizable debt that this slave owes the other. Hey, you got to pay me back. We can't go around forgiving this much money. Pay what you owe. Grabs him by the neck. Ugh. Pay it back. And he does the same thing that the slave did to the king. He falls down on his knees, uses the same words, have patience with me, and I will pay you back. So surely, having just been forgiven this great debt by the king, this slave has mercy on his fellow slave. Sure, you know what? I'm having a good day. All my debts are just wiped away. You're free to go. That makes sense, wouldn't it? But he doesn't do that. No, you wicked slave. You can't do that. You owe me this money. I'm going to throw you in jail until you can pay that debt. This is silly. Why would that be his reaction? So the other slaves, they tattle on him. They go to the king and say, you know that guy you just forgave all that money? He threw our buddy in jail for peanuts. Such a small amount in comparison. No, he didn't. Did he? Bring him here. All right, listen, man. I forgave you all of this money and you could not pay it forward. You begged and pleaded with me, and for no reason I had mercy on you. You couldn't have mercy on your fellow slave? So your punishment will be even worse. Hands him over to be tortured until he could repay the entire debt, which we've already said was impossible. Limitless torture for this lack of mercy on your fellow slave. And Jesus ends by making it clear my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Ouch. Who needs to forgive somebody? It's a hard task. I think what this parable is trying to get us to understand is just how deep God's forgiveness for us truly is. We have this impossible debt that has been forgiven to us. Through the actions of our own lives, the actions of humanity, we have separated ourselves from God. There is no way that we can make that relationship right without God stepping in and intervening on our behalf, which God does through Jesus. This debt has been wiped out by God. Simply asking and believing we have this relationship with God. That thing that separated us from God has gone. And we can live in the presence and love and light and grace that God so willingly gives to us simply by asking. Nothing that we've done to deserve it, nothing that we've done to have it. Simply because God is God and decides, I will forgive your sins. And so then when we meet people that have harmed us, I'm going to hold on to this definition of sin from earlier. When people's actions don't live up to our expectations. What was the other one? I should have written it down. I'll have to go back to the recording. When people harm us, when they do things that we think are unnecessary, that was the one, when they're extra. When people harm us, what is to stop us from forgiving them? Back to the kids, have you ever, there's always a great scene in every child's life where they want dessert, but they don't want to finish their food. You know what I'm talking about? Eat your one thing of broccoli, and you can have a bowl of ice cream. It's one broccoli. You can even pretend you're a dinosaur eating a tree if you want to. But eat the broccoli. The one little thing of broccoli, and you can have an entire bowl of ice cream. You start bargaining with them. I'll give you a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's if you want. Just eat the broccoli. The one little broccoli. That's what this parable is trying to get at. Just forgive that person. Look at the great reward, all that God has already forgiven you. You are free to eat the broccoli, to forgive that person. As big and awful as you think that broccoli is, as hard as you think it might be to forgive that person, look what God has already forgiven in your own life. This, I think, is the power of this parable. Jesus tells this story in this awful, mind-bending way to get us to think about that. God has already given us so much. How can we not forgive others? How can we not reach out to rebuild those communities in this world around us when God has already made it possible for us to be in community with Him and with the rest of the world? God's already done the hard work. Just forgive this small thing in comparison. And again, this is 100 denarii that the slave's not forgiven. It's not a small thing in itself. I don't mean to diminish what you need to forgive. But compared to what God has forgiven, it's a huge thing. Talking about forgiveness can be difficult. Because we all, I think, have things that we need to forgive. And it's a whole lot easier to tell you to forgive when I haven't forgiven others myself. It's easy to talk about forgiveness when it's somebody else, when you've got your own things to forgive. And so talking about forgiveness can be difficult. But I think one of the ways that we mix up what's important about forgiveness is we make it about the other that has harmed us. I have been harmed. This person has done something that I did not like that has harmed me. they don't deserve my forgiveness. Is that a familiar feeling when thinking about forgiveness? They don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. I didn't like their apology. They didn't apologize at all. Why should I forgive them? It's not worth my time to forgive them. They don't deserve it. But what forgiveness allows us to do, it's not for them. It's for ourselves. This slave, had he forgiven his other slave, was doing it for himself to receive that forgiveness from God. When we forgive others, it frees us that burden of the harm that has been done to us. You know, I like to be online. I watch little videos all the time. One of a viral thing I just watched, there's a guy that does lunch reviews. He's a Hispanic or Mexican guy. Looks like he does construction or outside, one of those things. And every day, he opens his lunchbox, and I'm going to try to mimic his accent, okay? Because it's part of his vibe. He says, "My wife packed me lunch. Your wife no pack you no lunch." And then he goes through his lunch, and he's got oranges and all sorts of yummy things. And he's just full of joy. He exudes joy. Everything he pulls out is the greatest thing he's ever eaten before. He loves oranges. He loves the little snack packs. She makes some tacos. He loves all of it. And then I saw one. His wife was recording. And she asked him if he saw the comments. The comments about being sent back home. About being deported. About why are you like this? People in our society, particularly online, we like to tear people down. And his response, he used this scripture with the same joy. Jesus says to forgive 70 times 7. You can't hurt my feelings. I forgive you. I forgive the words that you've said. I forgive you. That's what forgiveness does. It allows us to continue to live in the joy that we have when we know that God has forgiven us. We know that God has given us this great gift, and so we extend it so that the other people that are trying to harm us don't have that control over us. How great it would have been for this slave to recognize, I don't owe my master any more money. I don't need your 100 denarii to try to chip away at my own debt. Go free. I forgive your debt because mine has been so forgiven. The other thing that forgiving people does is it makes the other people mad. Because they're trying to hurt you. I loved Liam's confession. Apologizing is harder when you meant to do it. You hurt me. I wanted to hurt you back. I'm not sorry for that. When people are trying to hurt us and we forgive them, we take that power from those bullies. I'm trying to demean you. I'm trying to hurt you. I'm trying to put you down. And you just look back up at them and you say, well, I forgive you. You don't give them that power over you. Now, this was a long time ago. It was 1996. I haven't made any football references in a while. So here we go. You ready? 1996, the Gators were doing pretty good playing football. Got down to our last game against Florida State. You remember. And Florida State, they were coached by a guy named Bobby Bowden. And it's always a great coaching thing to tell your players, play to the whistle, right? Just because you think a ball or play is dead doesn't mean it is. Play until you hear the whistle. Well, Bobby Bowden told his guys, play until the echo of the whistle. And there's rules in football about late hits. And so all throughout this game against Florida State, which they did end up beating the Gators, they would hit quarterback Danny Werfel late. And they'd spear him. They'd stick their helmets in his chest. They'd hit him over and over again. And only a few of them were called for penalties. Over and over again, they would hit Danny Werfel late. And after the game, Coach Spurrier, you remember the old ball coach, he was all, oh, I hate those guys. So mean, so awful. Danny Werfel was like, it's okay. I forgive him. And Coach Spurrier would even go on and said, Danny was this sort of New Testament, turn the other cheek guy. And Steve said, I'm more of an Old Testament fire and brimstone. Well, it turned out later that same exact year, a few months later, we'd find ourselves in the Sugar Bowl against one another. And up until, you know, we'd like to talk about bulletin board materials and things you like to get under the other team's skin. Coach Spurrier talked about this thing the whole time. These late hits, these late hits, these late hits. Well, apparently Bobby bowed and this got under his skin and he ran the players ragged. You're going to play to the echo of the whistle. Run hard, hit late, hit hard, hit late, over and over again. Well, the Sugar Bowl came. It was a good game. We whooped them. There's an old joke, how do you make Seminole cookies? You put them in a Sugar Bowl and beat them. Sorry. I apologize. Danny's Warfel's forgiveness of these guys, it's okay. Got under their skin. They played and practiced harder and harder and harder, and they looked physically more tired than what they should have been because they had practiced too hard. Forgiveness can heap those coals on your enemies' heads. And that's what God wants us to do. Forgive those that are around us. Particularly those in the church and our fellow believers. Forgive them because it's what God has already done for you. Each Sunday we pray the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The same way that we forgive others, forgive us. The same way that you have forgiven us, we strive to forgive others. Forgiveness is a hard, hard thing. It does not mean that we continue in ways and situations that lead us to harm. We can still seek safety for ourselves, but the community that is built when we offer forgiveness is what God would have us to do. God has forgiven us and allowed for this relationship with him and expects us to offer that same forgiveness to build relationships here in this world. It is a hard, hard thing, but well worth it. Amen.